Welcome to the latest episode of Public Power Now. I'm Paul Schimpoli, APPA's news director. Our guests on this episode are two officials from Washington State's Snohomish County PUD, John Heeb, principal engineer, and Susie Oversvee, senior program manager for new energy initiatives. And we're also joined by Daniel Crawley, supervisor for strategic research at EPB, which is located in Chattanooga, Tennessee. EPB is an electric municipality owned by the city of Chattanooga and one of TVA's more than 150 local power companies. John, Susie, and Daniel are joining us to discuss projects the Snohomish County PUD and EPB will pursue as a result of funding announced by the U.S. Department of Energy in late 2023. The funding is being made available through the DOE's Grid Deployment Office, which is administering a $10.5 billion Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnerships Program to enhance grid flexibility and improve the resilience of the power system against growing threats of extreme weather and climate change. Concept papers for the Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnership Program Round 2 were due in early January, but full applications aren't due until April. John, Susie, and Daniel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Sure thing. So I guess for my first question, I'll start with SnowPUD and wanted to get additional details about the projects the SnowPUD will be pursuing as a result of the DOE funding.
Great. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank APPA for hosting us. Thanks to DOE for trusting us with this award. And thanks to all my amazing team members who helped us get this project funded. So at a high level, the goals that we have with our project are to improve reliability and resiliency, to provide some wildfire mitigation, and to develop some voltage optimization and demand reduction. So to accomplish those goals, we will be installing hundreds of communication-enabled smart grid devices. We'll be replacing and upgrading our existing SCADA and ADMS systems that will optimally control those devices. We'll be replacing expulsion fuses in our highest wildfire risk areas. And thanks to this DOE funding, we're going to be able to accelerate this project from kind of a 20-year deployment timeline down to a very fast 5-year deployment. We'll be bringing in approximately 15 net new jobs to our company, as well as apprentice positions within our IBEW team. Susie, you want to mention anything else?
Yeah, sure. So I've been focusing on the community benefits plan, whereas John has been our lead on the technical piece of our project. As John mentioned, we've got these apprenticeships and 15 new positions that we're building up, and we'll be leveraging our existing strong working relationship with IBEW Local 77 to explore opportunities to increase career pathways to underrepresented applicant sectors. Also, as part of our community benefits plan, we are partnering with tribal, regulatory, local government, and emergency management stakeholders in our service territory to enhance community benefits such as increased energy and environmental resilience and decreased energy burden, with a particular focus on our federally identified disadvantaged communities. So that's a very important part of the project that we'll expand on in a little bit too.
Daniel, did you want to take this opportunity to describe the EPB project?
Absolutely. And I want to reiterate what John said. Thanks to APPA and a big thanks to DOE for trusting EPB with this award as well. This is, fortunately for us, our second DOE award that we've received, the first one being the Smart Grid Grant back in 2009 that allowed us to expedite our investments in building out a state-of-the-art smart grid. Back then, we thought it would be about 10 years. It accelerated that process to we were able to build it in 3. And describing this project for GRIP that we were fortunate enough to get, we are looking at expanding our energy storage deployments. So in our proposal and in the award that we received, we have 6 2.5 10 megawatt hour batteries that we were planning to deploy across our system. It would be about 15 megawatts of storage total. And 4 of those 6 are located in disadvantaged communities. We also are planning to replace or harden about 1,300 poles across our system. And then a large chunk of this investment that we have going into this project is underground conversions. So we will be undergrounding 268 fused lateral circuits, both electric and fiber lines. So it's a little more than, it's like 101 miles of fiber and electric lines that we'll be undergrounding. And for the community benefits portion, we are looking at, we are planning to allocate some of the funding to a New Heights Lineman Apprenticeship Program. So this would be, it would double the amount of funding for these scholarships to create new apprenticeship jobs across our county. And there's also work going on with our local community college, Chattanooga State, for an IT program that we're putting some funding in. We are very committed to the minority women-owned business. We would like to have at least 25% of the work completed by MWOBs. And then finally, overall, we were able to identify that somewhere between 42 and 45% of the benefits of this project are flowing to disadvantaged communities to make sure that we reach that Justice 40 goal.
So, Daniel, I'm going to start with you for the next question. Wanted to get a sense from everybody on this episode of the application process for the program and if there were any lessons learned in terms of that application process.
Yeah. And so one of the things that we looked at with this application is, first and foremost, for anyone that worked on GRIP previously or last year and are looking at it this year, the process is, it can be very daunting. It can be very intimidating whenever you first look at it. One thing with this application process that we found as well is that it takes total buy-in. And what I mean by that is, it is executive leadership down to your grant coordinators or whoever you have that's working, the team members you have working on this grant. It just takes that total buy-in to do that. You have to describe and bring in the right people to be able to accomplish this goal and submit these applications. But overall, I will say, at least from my opinion and my perspective, is that DOE has set this up in a way, these applications, while they may be intimidating, they're set up for you to succeed if you follow, you know, their criteria and check all of their boxes. And it also makes it to where whenever you do submit and you are awarded, once you get to the other side of those negotiations and the work begins, they have it set up again for you to succeed and be on a good path to make sure that you complete all the tasks that you have proposed that you will do. So, and then lessons learned for EPB in our perspective is that, again, the total buy-in, but you need a team. And I was fortunate enough to work with a great team and a number of individuals in EPB from all different departments to be able to successfully put this application together. Another lesson learned for us is, we found that the more time we spent, a lot of time on our community benefits plan, it's rather new. So it was new to us for sure. I'm sure it is for everyone else. But the more time on that you spend, it seems like is the better process. And that's what I'm hearing collectively from a lot of other power companies or utilities as well. And another piece of a lesson learned too is being able to connect the dots in your application. I feel like that was a big thing for us, is there's so many different files and things that you have to submit. So connecting those dots between each of them just makes it easier for reviewers. And then finally, the last thing I'll mention is a lesson learned for us. We were unfortunately discouraged on one of our applications, but we applied anyway. And the feedback that we received from DOE was very, actually really good. And we are looking to apply on that again this year. So a lesson learned for us is, we plan on applying even if we are discouraged on any application that we get.
Thanks, Daniel. How about Snowpud?
Yeah, I'll jump in. So just kind of talk through the timeline of the application process. Snowpud had just finished updating our company's strategic plan, and that gave us really good focus on what's important to our company. And what we did is we kind of took that strategic lens as we were deciding what projects we would try to move forward with DOE. So what we did is we took our strategic plan and everything that was in the FOA from DOE, and we just kind of overlaid our projects with what we want to do with what DOE was asking for. And that really kind of gave us a good opportunity to make sure that we were aligned with the FOA. So Daniel mentioned something that I think was exactly right, is keep going back to the DOE documentation in the FOA about what they're asking for, what their priorities are, and make sure that each of the many different files can read either on their own or part of the holistic application, because there's certainly many different hands, many different documents, and making sure that it all reads in one voice was a big task. Timeline, oh my gosh, that was really intense. I think we had all of 6 weeks between when we received the feedback on our concept paper until the due date for the full application. So it felt like we were waiting forever. And then once we got that notification, it was full on sprint. So if you're in that waiting point right now, be aware that it's a wait and then sprint. We chose to do all the work in-house. And I know that a lot of other successful applicants use consultants to help with the process. I would just say, do what makes sense for your utility. Susie, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll jump in. Thank you. Yeah, just kind of building off of all of what John and Daniel just said, you know, really, really leverage your in-house expertise as much as possible. And sometimes that expertise might come from, you know, surprising places. So, you know, really think cross-functionally and then lean on consultants where you have gaps. You know, identify those gaps early, particularly if this is your first grant application, a federal grant application. And seek outside expertise on how to frame things up. The FOA reflects, you know, key policy goals of this administration, you know, such as a clean energy future and how we transition to get there, climate and energy justice, of course, the workforce and Justice 40 components that are highlighted in the community benefits plan. So make sure to frame your project around those goals. And I think, you know, it's easy to kind of think about the technical piece and then the community benefits plan as separate efforts. But to the extent possible, really, you should be blending those two bodies of work, and so that it's all one project. You know, weave in elements of the community benefits plan into that technical proposal. You know, lead with the impact of your project. What the technology is actually going to bring to your community. Ensure your grant team has a diversity of skills, perspectives, and backgrounds. So the DOE review panel will likely be diverse and made up of technical subject matter experts and also those with policy interests. So the goal of the, as has been mentioned, but should be emphasized, the goal for the application is to have a consistent message and tone in one voice. But to get there, you need those multiple perspectives from your team. The way we approached this is John led the writing of the technical proposal. I led the development and writing of the community benefits plan. He and I have very different but relevant backgrounds and subject matter expertise to bring to this project. And it's important to have this balance. These are all complex and, you know, very technical projects. But and I guess I think I mentioned this earlier, but it's critical to emphasize the transformational impacts to your customers and communities up front and not limit this to the community benefits plan. You know, explain why the project matters and lead with that impact, and then follow up with the how you're going to do that. You know, once you're clear about that impact, who and how will the project will benefit your customers and communities, identify those community partners that can amplify the project benefits through their work in ways that meet their strategic priorities. So, for example, we were intentional about thinking through, you know, which partners could do this and would benefit from our project, and likewise, we'd benefit from their partnerships. So, you know, tribal partnerships is a given. And in our case, we have a very strong partnership with our largest tribal community, and they are very focused on community resilience. So this works perfectly with their strategic priorities. Another one that might not be on everyone's radar, but we are partnering with our regional clean air agency on this project. As John had mentioned earlier, wildfire mitigation is a strategic goal for this project. And you know, that plays right into to clean air for our region. And so that part of our project is of great interest to them.
I want to apologize in advance if we've already made reference to this, but acronym question, FOA is Funding Opportunity Announcement, correct?
That's right.
Okay. I just wanted to double check on that. So for SNOPED, I want to start with you with respect to the next question. You know, we've talked about the concept papers and John, you mentioned, you know, the quote unquote waiting point and then the sprint. So wanted to start with SNOPED with respect to the question of, for those listening who submitted a concept paper already and plan to submit a full application, do you have suggestions with respect to what they should be doing right now to prepare to submit the strongest possible application in April?
Yeah, I guess I would start off with just saying, take some breaths. I know it can be stressful while you have that concept paper out there and you're just waiting to hear back, but it is just kind of silent and then you hear. So don't stress in the waiting period. But, you know, we made the decision to hold off on going forward with our application work until we heard back. We didn't want to kind of use that time in between the concept paper and the notification. So we really didn't do any work between when we submitted and when we got the notification that we were encouraged to submit the full application. I wouldn't do it the same way again. That was really intense during those 6 weeks, and the even just another week or two would have been a blessing. The other thing I would say is, you know, get lots of eyes on your project. Check the assumptions that you made in the concept paper, you know, and really kind of pull together that diverse team, because I think we ended up with something about 20 different people that had their hands on our on these documents that we submitted. And that I feel is a bare bones team, really. It was a huge lift. So, and I know Susie's got some things to share as well.
Yeah, I think, and John, when you mentioned the 20 people, I think that was on the technical side. On the community benefits side, we had another at least dozen or so. So it was, we had a lot of people throughout our organization looking at the entire, you know, the entirety of our project. Also, just engaging those community partners and organizations and labor unions as quickly as you can. Don't wait on that. In our FOA, the community benefits plan, I think, was weighted at 20% of the project score. We consider that a pretty heavy 20%. You know, don't obviously, I can't be emphasized enough, don't leave that till late in the process, because it's only 20%. It takes a long time to identify those partners and bring them up to speed and kind of make your pitch and make those connections. So do that right up front. Identify someone who can do that. Again, lean on your utility strengths and think broadly about those and who in your utility you can bring into the project to craft your story and develop those relationships.
Okay, great. Thanks. And Daniel?
Yeah, so for EPB, and John alluded to this a minute ago, is we did decide to go ahead, as I mentioned earlier, to go ahead and proceed with a full application, regardless of what the status was for the concept paper. And I would recommend that everyone should probably go ahead and go that route, just to give yourself a little more time to put this stuff together, because as I mentioned, it can be an intimidating process. There's a lot of information to gather. The more time you have, the better you're going to catch things throughout as you're writing, as you're putting all these documents together, catch little errors here and there. You might think of something new rather than just being, you know, really pressed and stressed trying to get things together in a 4-week time period or however long you have. So my recommendation would be to put together the strongest possible application is to go ahead and start now and go ahead and continue to submit regardless of what your encouragement letter says or discouragement. Second thing would be to, as we've already mentioned, gather team members, community partners, and leadership. You got to get everyone on board as soon as possible. Go ahead and get your project laid out, what you want to pursue, get all your ducks in a row. Get everyone on board and pointing in the same direction. The last thing you want is, you know, three weeks before this the deadline is for this this grant submission is for people to be coming in and, you know, trying to pivot one way or another, because with as many documents as you have to fill out, as much information as you have to put in, pivoting at the last minute is it's not going to give you your best and, you know, the strongest application moving towards that deadline date. So that'd be the second thing. The next couple things I'll mention are kind of things that I've learned just as I've gone through this process several different times on several different grants with other, you know, federal agencies. But I find it best to break the application process into phases. So for me, I've looked at GRIP as three different phases, and I won't go into the details because we don't have the time here, but going through and saying, okay, telling the team, this is where we need to be at the end of this month. This is where we need to be at, you know, this date, and break up each of those, you know, that long list of items that the DOE is looking for, attack those, you know, one at a time. Now, if you and your technical volume, your community benefits plan, those are going to be an ongoing flow. But the rest of those pieces, you could break up into phases. And that's what we do. And we find it to be at least a successful or beneficial process for us. It makes it easier to navigate. It's a little less intimidating whenever you look at it that way from our perspective. Another piece that I hope will be very helpful to everyone is resume approach. And what I mean by that is keywords. These reviewers that we don't know the process that they go through entirely, but we know that there is a group of reviewers, however they DOE does it, that are going to be looking at, I mean, last year, I think they said they had like 600 applications. So there's some people that are going through these, however they break it up. They're probably at least reviewing 30 different applications at minimum, I would expect. And I mean, that's 25-page documents plus 12-page community benefits plan. So the resume approach, whenever you put in a resume, what are you doing? You're trying to put in keywords that will catch someone's attention. So as you know, John mentioned this earlier, and I talked about it a little bit, that FOA or that funding opportunity announcement, that's your best friend. Go back and look at what DOE, the keywords they're looking for, and put those into your, you know, the priority investments, put those into your technical volume, put them into your community benefits plan, so that you're checking those boxes that they're looking for. And it makes it easier for the reviewer to go through and, you know, point to, okay, well, they covered this box. They covered this box. I can give them this grade, whatever the case is. And then that also leads me to my last point, which is document structure. I would place a heavy focus on that as you get ready for your full application. And that, what I mean by that is make it, again, as easy as possible for the reviewer. They might have some sort of rubric that they're looking at, and they need to check off, okay, I need to check off the Justice 40. I need to check off the DEIA or the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility. And if you have those in your document as headers or, you know, full sections or whatever the case is, it's easier for them to go and find, because they may be ready to go and reading the first two or three applications, but by that time they get to their 30th or 40th, they're, you know, their brain's fried. They just need a little bit, almost like you're guiding them or you're kind of handing it to them on a silver platter. So those would be kind of my biggest suggestions I would give to everyone for putting in full applications.
So Daniel, I wanted to start with you for the next and last question of our conversation. You know, for those who aren't pursuing a GRIP grant this time around, there's also significant infrastructure funding available for everything from EV chargers to hydropower to energy efficiency. So, you know, against that backdrop, do you have any advice for utilities just starting to consider federal funding opportunities?
Absolutely. So biggest thing that I would say is I'd say plan. Go ahead and start now. We are now EPB. We're fortunate. We do have, my group is strategic research. So we're constantly looking at things that are, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 years out. And I understand not every utility has that in their company, but, you know, assign some people, put together a small team of some kind and start to think through, you know, and plan what are some things that we want to accomplish over the next, even, you know, 5, 10 years, but really think outside the box. What are some innovative things that you want to do that will benefit your community, and plan those out and put together a solid technical and community plan as you go through and think that, and that goes from, you know, the top down, executive leaders, your middle managers, the whole works. But that would be my first thing, is just plan. Go ahead and start that process now to get ready for next year, or for any other grant that you're planning to apply on, maybe this summer. Second piece, again, kind of relates directly to that, is internal communication is key. So for us at EPB, our executive leadership team is very interested and invested in this process for us. So it, you know, keeping that internal communication, keeping everybody on the same page of where you're wanting to go is definitely a big piece of this. No slacking on the community benefits plan. That has been a tall task for us. Make sure you go ahead and start the process of talking with your community leaders, your community partners that you have around town, around the region. Go ahead and start seeing what they're doing, because one thing that we found that it seems like DOE kind of likes from the awards that they've given is something that's already going on in the community and adding to that, you know, doubling the investment that's going in there. So it may not be that you have to devise a whole new plan or a whole new community benefit project of some kind. You can just add to what's already out there, you know, double that investment, triple that investment, whatever the case is. So just figure out what's going on with your community. Get those partnerships in place. And then finally, I've already mentioned to don't be afraid to think outside the box, but set a target, set a goal that you want to reach and think outside that box. And if it's the more innovative it is, the better shot you're going to have with these funding opportunities. But reaching that goal is obtainable if everyone's on the same page and if you have a solid plan that you've devised over an extended period of time.
Now, how about for Snowplug?
Yeah, I can jump in. Daniel, I really liked what you said about, you know, just really understanding what's already happening in your community and seeing how, you know, what you want to do at your utility can help those goals, and just building on what's already happening. I think that's key. The other thing I'd say is seek partnership opportunities. And by that, I mean, you know, your utility doesn't always need to be the prime applicant to reap benefits of a grant program for your organization. And so, in fact, sometimes it makes sense to let others lead and you come alongside them or be a partner and benefit in that way. Think critically about who is the best fit and has the capacity to apply, and be very strategic in deciding which grants your organization pursues. Another thing to consider are opportunities that are outside of the DOE. So for instance, right now EPA has their Climate Pollution Reduction Grant program open, and there's great electrification opportunities through that program. There's also, you know, the U.S. Forest Service has urban forestry, which some of our utilities, you know, plant trees and have tree programs to accomplish energy goals. So think broadly. It's tempting to follow the money to develop projects, but be careful in doing that. First, kind of look at the strategic priorities of your organization, your utility, and see how the funding might align with your strategic priorities and how you can leverage the funding to expand on your goals and your scope, or accelerate your projects that you already have planned. John, do you want to add on?
Yeah. And to, you know, follow up on Daniel's plan, nailed it with that one. So really it's all about figuring out what you have on your near and long-term plans as a utility, and matching it up with those goals, objectives, and technical approaches that you would see in the funding opportunity announcement. So really only move forward when you have projects that are clear fit with what the FOA is looking for. And the last thing I'd want to say is the federal grant opportunities are competitive. I think Daniel said there's 600 or so concept papers that were submitted for the first round of funding. They're very competitive. They take a lot of work to apply and then comply with the terms if you do receive the awards. But I would say the work is worth it. These GRIP grants will bring amazing benefits to our utility, our customers, and our communities. And that's why we at Snowplug took on the challenge.
Thank you, John. So John, Susie, and Daniel, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I know we covered a lot of ground, but it's safe to say that listeners have a lot of actionable takeaways from our discussion. So thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Perhaps.
Sure thing. So just a couple of concluding remarks with respect to what utilities should be doing now to apply and how to strengthen their GRIP proposals. Consulting firm Beam Reach can help guide public power utilities through the process. Public power utilities interested in learning more about the topics we discussed in this episode are encouraged to join APPA's Energy Transition Community, a working group that is addressing grid operations, reliability, resiliency, and recovery in a future low-emission electricity delivery system, including advising APPA's work on its DOE cooperative agreements. To volunteer to participate in the ETC, send an email to energytransition@publicpower.org. APPA members can visit publicpower.org/infrastructure funding to learn the latest on federal grants and access APPA's federal funding resources. Thanks for listening to this episode of Public Power Now, which is produced by Julio Guerrero, graphic and digital designer at APPA. I'm Paul Schimpoli, and we'll be back next week with more from the world of public power.